find your way back to your seats this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. If you don't know where that is, just look it up in the table of contents and you'll quickly find it. Great story we're going to look at this morning. You know, you can't help but think about all the ladies that have had an impact in your life on Mother's Day. It's a great day. And for me in particular, it's a great day. I had fantastic influences in my life from the time I was a small child. Both of my grandmothers were believers as long as I lived. So from the day that I met them and knew them, they knew Jesus and lived for Jesus before me. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking back just some memories in my life with them. And my dad's mom had this contagious laugh. And even in her later years, it never diminished. A lot of other things gave way in her life, but I can tell you this, that laugh, that contagious laugh, never went away. She would get in the middle of telling the story, and before she would finish the story, she would get so tickled at herself telling the story that everybody in the house would be laughing long before the funny part came. My other grandmother was one of those ladies that never really got to do a lot in life. I grew up as the wife of a sharecropper and lived in a little bitty house. The board that was on the outside was the same board that was on the inside. She had a chicken coop. They would kill dinner before they would eat it. She never traveled, never had a driver's license, never rode on a plane. I'm not sure that she ever traveled outside of the state of Georgia. But I can remember her with her dim vision sitting and reading her large print Bible over and over again and always hearing her talk about Jesus. In fact, both of my grandmothers always talked about Jesus. Maybe that was why when I was growing up, I had a mom that just poured Jesus into me every day from the day I was born. And I was blessed by my mom. And many of you know her. You know her life here. And this fall will be 4 years that she passed away. But God blessed me every day with a godly mom. And then I have an amazing wife who's been a godly mom to our son. And so all the way around, I can't tell you how great it is for me to celebrate this day. I mean, this is a blessed day and a day to celebrate. And you know, when you start thinking about moms, moms get a lot of attention. Not just on Mother's Day. They get a lot of attention. I mean, think about it for a minute. How many times have you heard this expression? Hey, Mom. You heard that one? It's usually followed by a request for some personal acquisition. Hey, Mom, will you make me a sandwich? Hey, Mom, will you give me some money so we can go to the movie? This is my favorite. Hey, Mom, will you talk to Dad so he'll let me go off with my friends? Especially if you have boys, man. They just know how to get to Mom and get to Mom to get to Dad. Several years ago, I read this little description of Mom because they not only hear their name called a lot and are spoken to a lot, but they speak a lot. And there's some great things that moms teach us along the way. And this is just one of those great lists. And I'll read it to you. What my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. When she would say, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning the house. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. My mother taught me logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. And every one of us in this room have heard this. My mom taught me irony. You keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me osmosis. I've probably heard this one a bunch at the dinner table. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. Try to do that. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, don't exaggerate. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Will you stop acting like your father? Hey, guys, don't worry about it. Father's Day's coming. All right? My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. You know what? My parents didn't say that. My mom and my dad would say, I'm going to meet you behind the church bus. So to this day, if I see a church bus driving down the road, I cringe all over. It just brings back bad memories. My mother taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you get cold? My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? And then justice. It's my favorite. One day, son, you're going to have kids. And I hope they turn out just like you. Moms do teach us a lot, don't they? In fact, moms are wonderful. And they're a blessing to us. And they get a lot of attention, both in us speaking to them and them speaking to us. To describe what it means to be a godly mom can be very difficult. But to discover what one looks like is not difficult at all. In fact, when you turn to 1 Samuel and begin to read, a godly mom just jumps right off the page into our lives out of one episode in the life of a woman who went through some difficult times, and yet out of that shows us, I think, some very keen insights of what it means to be a godly woman. Actually, what it means to be a godly person. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want you to understand, though, that when it comes to parenting, especially motherhood, it's not a competition. It's not a competition at all. So we should not evaluate our ability to parent or to be a godly mom based on comparison with somebody else. You see, the challenge of being a parent that honors God is not about being the greatest. It's about exhibiting greatness in living out our role under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. And I think as we look at this life, the life of Hannah, we'll see some great characteristics of what it means to be a godly mom. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 1, I just want to give you six things this morning, and then we're going to have a special prayer time. And that's going to be our invitation today, and we're going to wrap up our time together. All right? This is a cool story. It's about a man named Elkanah who has two wives. That's not recommended. Peninnah and Hannah. And you'll read why in just a minute. But right out of the start, we see something that takes place in this woman's life that really, really gets our attention. And it's the first point. So write this down. A great mother is not exempt from great struggles. You see, I think sometimes we think that greatness is defined by somebody who literally has it all together and can handle absolutely anything, but never really has to handle anything because their life is so great. But that's not really the picture of a great mother. In fact, in Hannah's life, we see that a great mother really does go through some great struggles in their life. And I want to read part of it to you down in verse 3 of chapter 1. Listen to how it describes the situation. It says, "Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? It's a great struggle, isn't it? Here was a lady who desperately wanted to have children, but she couldn't have children. It literally was breaking her heart. It made her so upset, and it was such a great struggle, she couldn't even eat. And nothing he could say as a husband would make her happy. You know, when I read this struggle, I thought about two things. I thought about, number one, all the people in the world who have children and don't want them. In fact, God really burdened my heart this morning for the children of the world who don't have parents today. They don't have a mama to call or to send a card to. They don't have a mama to take to lunch. Because they're living in an orphanage or they're living on the street somewhere around the world. Doesn't really matter what language they speak or where they're from. They're still just kids. And I thought, man, that really breaks my heart. And I hope today that as you do celebrate Mother's Day, and it is a great, happy occasion, but we need to pray for God to show His love and mercy and grace to those children. And then there are people who really want to have children and can't. It's difficult. And in fact, I know there's people in our own congregation who are in that same situation that Hannah found herself in recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And it's tough. And today's probably a very difficult day. I mean, you're thankful for your mom, but yet you want to be a parent as well. And so I just want to say to you, we need to pray for those families as well. We need to think about them. Think about how God can bless them and love on them. Because you know what? Even great mothers, great women, great men face great struggles. And so I want you to stop today and I want you to pray for those two groups of people. Would you join me in that? Let's pray for them right now. Father, we just bow before you today and we thank you that you're God and you hold our lives in your hands. Lord, we don't know what the future holds. We can't see the whole plan, but we can trust you. And so we just come before you today and we do trust you and we love you and we honor you today. And we want to lift up before you not just the children that are here in our church family, not just the ones that were on the stage today, but the children around the world who don't have a mom. They don't have a dad. Lord, they may be living in a small, out-of-the-way orphanage. They may be in a crowded, busy city. They may be living on the street. And we just pray that you would love them. You would send somebody to love them, to show them your love. That you would protect those children from evil people that would take advantage of them, that would abuse them or hurt them. That you would surround them with your heavenly angels and your host of protectors. And out of the most desperate circumstances, you would love and raise up children that would know Jesus and become adults and impact this world with your love. We lift those children up to you today. And God, we pray for parents, for men and women who want to be parents, who want to have children, but they can't. Lord, we just entrust them to you today, and we just pray that you would love on them today, that you would show them your love as a father, and that you would comfort their pain and their hurt, and that you would pour out your grace upon their life, and that you would give them wisdom for what direction to take in the future. That in every way, they would sense your love and they would know they're a part of your family. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's real simple, isn't it? You can be a great mom and still face great struggles in your life. But here's the second thing. A great mother is growing in her dependence on and a relationship with God. Look down in verse 9. We're just going to read through this story together. It says, after they'd eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose, and now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. You see her praying, don't you? She knew where to turn in times of trouble. In good times or in bad, I'll tell you this. What ought to be characteristic of who we are and what we're about is that our lives ought to be growing in Christ. And I would just say to you, if you're going to be a great mom, if you're going to be a great man, if you're going to be a great woman, then one thing needs to be true of you all the time, and that is you are depending on and growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I just ask you a question, where's it going? I mean, how is it going? Are you growing in God's love? Are you growing in His grace? Are you growing more like Him? Are you growing closer to Him? Because that's a godly mom. Now, what happened to Hannah as she prayed was rather unusual. Look down in verse 12 and hear the rest of the story. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said to him, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." And then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Here's point number three. A great mother realizes that her children are a gift from God. Down in verse 19, it says, "They arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, 'I have asked for him from the Lord.'" Now, the name Samuel actually means name of God or offspring of God. And what Hannah was saying was this: "You know what, I have not forgotten my prayer in my time of distress. And I know now that the child that God has given me is indeed a gift from Almighty God." And what she said in naming him Samuel, by the way, he became one of the greatest prophets ever in Israel, a great leader in Israel, was something that all of us need to remember, that our children are a gift from God. I mean, literally, they belong to Him. Even though we get to spend time with them and raise them up and love them and care for them, they're His before they're ours. And we get to enjoy them. And we get to raise them. And we get the opportunity to lift them up before the Father. Number four is this: a great mother dedicates her children to the Lord. I love what happens as the story continues to unfold. If you skip down to verse 24, this is years later, several years later. "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, 'Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he has lent to the Lord.' And he worshiped the Lord there." I love that. See, the fourth thing is this: she had dedicated her child to the Lord. And just a moment ago, we had all these parents stand up here and had these children, and they were having a parent-child dedication. They were dedicating themselves to raise this child in a way that would honor and glorify Jesus, but they're taking this child and dedicating them to the Lord. And what I prayed, I really meant. I'm praying that God will raise up the next generation of teachers and accountants and policemen and firemen and missionaries and pastors that will go around this world sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus with this world. We need a revival in this world, and God's going to bring it. And one generation, some generation, is going to indeed stand up with the grace of God and carry the banner and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And I'm praying that it's this generation that we're working with right now. Now, what we're praying for is exactly what Hannah prayed for. And that is, that, listen, our children are God's, and we want to dedicate them to you. They belong to you. We should never live one day forgetting That child or children that we have are God's, and they're His. And then here's 5 and 6. A great mother offers praise to God and lives for His glory. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, you see Hannah's song, and you can read it. It's down through verse 10, and it's a great celebration of all that God's done in her life. And here's the last thing. A great mother makes it her mission to consistently embrace her children with the love of Almighty God. The other day, I was having a conversation with somebody, and we're talking about, you know, what life was all about. It's one of those heavy conversations. And throughout the conversation, we kind of made our way to the end and said, you know, what do you want to be remembered for? And when everything's said and everything's done, I mean, what do you want to be remembered for? What legacy do you want to leave in this world? It's amazing to me, I've done, I don't know how many funerals in my life. It's amazing to me what people put on their gravestones and what people want read at their funerals and what people want said about them. I mean, is that really all you want said about you? Is that really all that people can say about you? Most of it's very, very shallow. Doesn't last. End of our conversation, we got to this. You know, it's not about accomplishments, and it's not about the things that we do. It's not about the education that we have. It's not about our business sense or how much money we've made. It's really what we want to see at the end of our life is this, that people said, you know what? I can tell you something about my mom. My mom loved Jesus. And Jesus loved me through her. Ladies, let me tell you something. There's a lot of things that people might say about you when you die. Good things. That you're a kind person. That you've accomplished a lot. That you were industrious. That you're able to take the weight of the world on your shoulders. But I tell you, the greatest thing in the world that people can say or will say is this. That she loved Jesus. And Jesus loved me through her. You know, we want that to be true of every single woman in our church family. We really do. And I know that's tough. Because you're on duty 24/7. You have to handle situations that nobody else wants to handle. You've got to bring peace when nobody else wants to even touch peace in the family. You've got to try to answer questions that nobody on this face of this planet can answer. You have a tough job. But you have a great job. And we want to tell you how much we love you. And every day, we want to see you loving Jesus and Jesus loving us through you. And so this is how I want us to kind of bring our service to conclusion today. I want us to pray for our moms and our church. This is one of the special moments that I really enjoy. We get an opportunity to pray for one another. And on this day, we get to pray for our moms and our congregation. And so I just want to ask you ladies to do me a favor. You may have never been down to the front of this church before, but I'd really love for you to come down here today. And I know it's a lot of ladies, but if you will, if you're a mom, I want you just to stand up and make your way down here to the front. Just find you a place down here around the altar to kneel. It may get a little crowded. We may be down the aisles, but that's okay too. If you can kneel, you can. If you can find a seat, just sit down right there on the edge. That's fine. Isn't this a great picture? It's awesome. Now, if you're still in your seat or still at your section, this way, in your section, I want us all to stand up. And in your section, I want you to reach out and hold hands of the people in your section. We're not able to cross the aisles this time. And this is what I want us to do. I want you to pray. Maybe your wife is down here. Maybe your mom's down here. Maybe your daughter is down here kneeling. I want you to pray for them. I'm going to pray for all of them, but I want you to pray for them. And I want you to pray that every day when they wake up, they'll know the amazing presence of Almighty God. That every day throughout that day, as they make decisions and deal with issues, that they would know and be comforted by the amazing presence of God. And every night when they lay down on their bed, lay their head on their pillow, they would know that God is with them. That God would work in their heart to strengthen their faith. And that every day He would love others through them. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, we do love You today. We thank You for Your love for us. I thank You just for the privilege of getting together as believers and studying Your Word and looking at an example, just one episode in the life of a woman that just illustrates what it means to be a godly woman. And I thank You for the ladies that are here today. I thank You for their desire to know You and to live for You and to be godly women and to share with their husband, to share with their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, the love of Jesus. I thank You for the passion and heart and love that they have for their families. I thank You for the way they pray for us. I thank You for the tears that they've shed for us. I thank You for the heart that You've given them for us. And God, I just bow before You today, and I pray that right now, every single one of these ladies just know that as a part of Your family, they belong to You and You're with them. You're their Father, and You hold their life in Your hands. I pray that they'll know that You'll give them the strength that they need each day. That You'll give them the wisdom they need to make decisions that will honor and glorify You. That You will watch over their lives. That You'll hold them up through the hurt, and that You'll carry them through any measure of pain. That You'll never leave them, never forsake them. And that every day You'll pour out Your grace into their lives. God, I just pray now that You'd give them the ability and the strength every day to love us, to love their husband, their children, their grandchildren, with the love of Jesus. I pray every day You'd encourage them, let them know how wonderful it is for us to have a mom like them. That You'd give them wisdom in their words. And when they pray, guide their thoughts and their hearts. Give them the words to speak. Give them the diligence they need. That in every day, I pray that You'll be honored by their lives. And Father, last of all, we just want to thank You for them. They are indeed a blessing, a most wonderful blessing. They impact us more than we could ever tell, more than we could ever say. Thank You for loving us through them. Thank You for the wonderful gifts they are to us. Now may everything we do today say to them that we love them. And may today they be encouraged by Your love and Your grace. We thank You for every one of these ladies. Thank You for blessing us with them. In Jesus' name we pray.